Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Josh Brown.
Hello there.
Chaps, we've gathered here today to talk a bit about Star Wars. Now, I don't know what state, how the Star Wars name hits you these days in 2021, because we've been on a hell of a ride, especially across the last few movies worth of the sequel trilogy and everything. But I think with the word of Quantic Dream's Star Wars game coming together, something that Kotaku have sort of semi-helped confirm by saying what they've heard about it as well, we just thought we'd run down the general state of Star Wars games, things that are in development, and where the brand is at in the video game space, because I feel like the last sort of decade pales in comparison to where it was at across the 2000s. And so we're going to talk about a little bit about the Quantic Dream stuff and then get into the rest of it. But where are you guys at on Star Wars? When you hear like the term Star Wars, do you feel like, oh my God, I can't wait, I really, really want more? Or does it need a bit more time away?
I mean, for me, certainly, it's not where it was. You know, I remember the excitement that I had for the sequel trilogy, you know, going into The Force Awakens specifically and just being over the moon and kind of not believing that I would ever see another proper, you know, Star Wars episode ever again. That has waned, but not to the extent where I'm like done with it or anything like that. I really love The Last Jedi. I thought Rise of Skywalker was a little bit disappointing. I quite like the Mandalorian show. So it's there, it's a thing that I like, but it's not a thing that I'm falling over myself to follow every announcement anymore. However, the games have always held a special place in my heart, and a game which I'm sure we'll get to, the Knights of the Old Republic remake that's coming, seeing that at the Sony conference, even though it was like the most minimalist trailer you'll ever see,
I wish there was
like
more.
That did enough to get me excited and hit
stoke the old fires.
Hit the nostalgia receptors that Star Wars hits so well.
Ben Roy, where you are? And you've always been, I think you stuck with Star Wars more than me and Josh have. You always kept up with the Clone Wars and the wider stuff. Where you are on it in general?
I've now sort of ended up drifting off into space. Like imagine, Revenge of Sith, R4 gets decapitated by a buzz droid and it flies away. I'm just someone with R4's head floating through the galaxy, hoping to one day find my way through any sort of system in, was it 12 parsecs? I don't even know anymore. I've gone sort of almost ice cold. I was on it more than both of you for a long time. I love myself a cheeky Mando. I love that show.
You saw Rise of Skywalker twice in that first week.
I saw Rise of Skywalker twice. I just never want to talk about that and The Last Jedi again. I'm so tired. We can all have our different opinions. I go back. I've not liked some of those parts of those films more as we go. But I mean, like, give me some more Palpatine every day, right? Ian McDermott is a national treasure. He should be protected for all of time. But yeah, I've gone through the Clone Wars. I try to get through Rebels. It just feels a bit too, like, just there, if you would say. And I've done quite a few of the new canon books and yeah, just floated around. And that's me just floating with R4's head, waiting. And then somehow watching Attack of the Clones almost like twice in the past month because we're editing a video for it on our Star Wars channel, 20 Things You Didn't Know About Attack of the Clones. And it came up in another podcast I listened to. And it's just, I don't know why I've seen Attack of the Clones so much recently. I feel trapped and I just want to get out.
Is number one that it's actually really good that people like me just completely skipped over it for a long time.
About that.
It is going to be good.
Have you seen this?
Wait, no, I'm thinking of the Clone Wars. Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones is a very different thing to the Clone Wars.
This is the thing with delving back into the, because I was like also like hardcore Star Wars fan, and then I feel like Rise of Skywalker. I mean, I dropped off after Last Jedi. Rise of Skywalker was just only compounded that general feeling of studio mandated creative decisions, which just didn't come together at all. And so for the state of the games though, like those were always the safety blanket. Like Battlefront 2 obviously launched really badly, but they pulled it back so much. And Battlefront 2 is for me like maybe one of the best Star Wars, one of the best Star Wars games ever made, like, and very fan focused over time as well. Like they would put in so much stuff that directly appeals to the fans. For me with Star Wars, you go back to the way that George Lucas talked about like conceptualizing it back in the day and how it's this toy box that he wants to give to different creators and to see what they come up with. For me, the games are always the embodiment of that. Like I'll take the video games, take Star Wars in video game form over the movies for the vast majority of you know ways that I want to interact with that fiction. But to bring it back around to games themselves, Quantic Dream Star Wars game, according to Kotaku, is a more traditional action game. Apparently they're potentially going for an open world setting with multiplayer elements. To the point where there is internal friction between the different dev teams as to the fact that the Quantic Dream themselves have never done this stuff before. But it potentially sounds like Sony are maybe pushing for that stuff, because obviously Quantic Dream, known for their sort of branching narrative games, Detroit Become Human, Heavy Rain, things like that. Maybe they quote unquote need to do something like this more in the Sony mold so they can kind of monetize it that way. What do you guys think of either the pairing of Quantic Dream and Star Wars and then them trying an action game?
It was seeing this news the other day. Had I not seen it, like, you know, reported on by like three different sources, I think, by the time the Kotaku piece came out, I didn't want to believe it. On the one hand, you know, it's Quantic Dream, and while I've enjoyed some of their games in the past, like their reputation as a studio right now is not great. There's like a bunch of, you know, allegations about, you know, harassment in the workplace. You know, I'm pretty sure like David Cage is maybe even on trial at the moment.
The last thing I read about him was that he'd got accused of a bunch of stuff, and then he lost his mind, like had a bit of a tantrum on a podium somewhere, and then ran out the courtroom. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with that studio at the moment, which kind of, to me, makes it seem a little bit weird that the Star Wars, or Disney, I suppose, has kind of like, you know, licensed the game out to them in the first place. Then, like you said, this is compounded by the fact that it's not even going to really be a Quantic Dream. I think the Kotaku report said it might even be open world and have multiplayer elements. Yep. And to me, if you want a multiplayer open world Star Wars game, this ain't the studio you go to. You go to someone known for open world or multiplayer games like they did with Ubisoft earlier this year. So the whole thing kind of just, it seems so strange, and I guess we'll have to see whenever it is announced. I think the Kotaku report confirmed that it'd been in development for like a year and a half, 18 months or so. So maybe we'll see it soon. It seems like I'm living in an alternate timeline where in our timeline, this doesn't seem possible, but I guess it's
well, they've never done a combat model. Like the nearest thing to combat that they've done is the QuickTime events where everything's mapped out for you. Like they've never really done a one-to-one anything like that, really. Benray, what's your thoughts on, I guess, how they would approach a Star Wars game?
I love me some Quantic Dream games. And the game's not like everything. But I have them installed, ready to go back through them because, you know, Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain is the reason I bought a PlayStation 3 back
in
the day.
I love Heavy Rain.
And I still love that game today. Like, no matter what, it's just a weird thing I love. But I look at it this way, right? Guerrilla had never made an open world game, and they had made Killzone, and whatever you say about Killzone, they're pretty middle into like, and then they came out with Horizon Zero Dawn, which is probably their best game.
Oh yeah, easily.
And
took the
industry, the world by storm, and sold a lot. People love themselves some Robot Dinosaurs. Now, Quantic Dream's a weird one because we've only ever had Quantic Dream games. It's like saying a Telltale game. It's just like it's associated with that studio in some respect. It sounds like Yves Guillemot snuck in there and whispered in David Cage's ear and go, make this game, and they're making an Ubisoft game. And for better or worse, we're going to get basically an Ubisoft. I'll say a different time throughout this pod, I always do. But it sounds like we're getting that from them. And you know what? It's a good thing because Star Wars, and I think a bit like Marvel as well throughout the years, when they've been locked down to like EA and James Bond as well, EA and Activision take them, and then they say, like, no one else can have this now. This is our toy. And then they make either trash or middling, and then they don't release something, and that the franchise almost like stagnate and gather mold and dust. Like if you see how many games are coming in to fruition now after this EA deal ends. It's just like, well, EA got the license and then they probably made sure their lawyers, like, if we put out, if we squeeze out a game every now and then and keep some mobile stuff going, it'll be fine, and Mickey Mouse can't come after us. But now it's spread now. I'm excited to see different takes, and I'm excited to see some be really good, and I'm excited to see some fail at this point, really. Mm-hmm. Like, just got to try it at some point.
It is kind of crazy, like you said there, Ben, right, how much they are hitting the ground running. And I mean, Disney, in terms of licensing out the brand, because I mean, the deal with EA doesn't even finish until 2023. They have confirmed that it is finishing, but it seems like they're not waiting until then to get anything in production. They're like, right, it's going to end. We might as well be ready for when it ends so we can have all of these games ready to go. So we can we can have this, you know.
The amount of time these things have been in development means that all these deals, all these agreements, these conversations were greenlit a year, 2 years ago. Like, I guess they knew it was in prep for the deal ending, but then even now, like you said, it's ended earlier anyway.
Yeah, I think the confirmation for the deal, and again, time over lockdown stuff is just barely legible. But I think they announced that the partnership was splitting up last year, and then they immediately announced the Ubisoft one at the start of this year. Obviously, there's this in development. And is there one more? KOTOR, obviously, they're doing that with Aspyr. So it seems like, you know, doing one contract while they were signing the others, ending one contract while they were signing the others.
Well, that's what I mean. One of the things that was doing the rounds is that there are more games in development right now than EA put out at all in their entire tenure. Like, there was that whole report, the amount of different things that EA canned over the years. Obviously, there was a whole Amy Hennig thing, and there was a game that Visceral were going to be doing. There was so many titles that could have got off the ground that were just sort of like severed during development. But the idea of a Quantic Dream thing, I kind of hope that they split the difference. Like, for me, as much as Quantic Dream, for me, always falls down on the writing, I would kind of hope that they do like a really choice-based, like, what does it feel like to become a Jedi, like, focus on all the different, like, give me the Jedi Rose, let me wander around the temple, let me have all these different conversations, let me like build a lightsaber from scratch and pick all the different parts of it. And then I guess the qualm is just whether or not they can actually do a combat system, but assumedly with Sony overseeing it, they can perfect it.
I'm gonna say I'd rather not, and rather do something not Jedi-ish and have them on the periphery and maybe just do something different.
Oh, like, you're just in that world. Yeah
I mean, like, we're going to get a billion games of the glowy light tubes coming out soon. And I love myself some Jedi, right? I was one of those people that played Star Wars Galaxy and tried not to be a Jedi and was like, yeah, I just want to be a stormtrooper, and I want to try and drive the old AT-AT and then get harassed by people that would announce themselves as rebels or get chased in the woods by a Rancor. But like, I would like something different. And I feel like with, as you said, you didn't hit me until you said then, Scott, it's like mixing what we expect from games now and then putting the Quantum Dream in it with, like, say, for better or worse, how they turn out, like, the really sort of the conversations that drew me into those games and those scenes and set pieces and how they craft it all together, but also have another game around that. I would like that more like another KOTOR-y style RPG, but maybe doing something else, maybe just, you know, getting Jabba the Hutt's laundry, or maybe you take up the mantle of Watto as he sees out his final years.
He just plays Salacious Crumb, sort of organizing the documents.
Captain Panaka, yeah, we never find out what happens between after Phantom Menace and when he joins up with old Ian McDermott in the Empire again. Get the Captain Panaka Chronicles going.
To be fair, Major Eaton as well. But I mean, to be fair, the amount of stories that are yet to be told that are away from the go-to stuff that I feel like maybe does play into Quantic Dream's strength. Like, for me, it's like their signature stuff is throwing so much money at the screen. Like, there is so much money in Detroit Become Human. Like, that thing is opulent as hell. It's just dripping in production quality. And I kind of wonder, like a Star Wars game with that level budget and the motion capture and everything else, like, that's a hell of a thing in itself. And I don't want them to lose that necessarily if they go down the action route or they sort of make an open world game with multiplayer elements. I would hope that there is some sort of character driven thing that makes it like a Quantic Dream thing. But the Killzone Horizon comparison is like spot on, because then they could absolutely do something that really puts them on the map with a wider bunch of people, because I don't know that many people that even played Detroit Become Human. Like, it's, I know it's sold well enough, but it's not like, I know you did, and it's, I know you guys both did, but
one of the best games of that year.
It can be. And so I think that they're an interesting studio, basically. I think they've got a lot more ground to gain than, that they should be known by a lot more people. Next thing down, these aren't in any particular order other than just sort of general importance, but the Knights of the Old Republic remake, which was announced at the PlayStation Showcase, coming to PlayStation 5 for a year. It's only a timed exclusive for a year. First time it'll be on PlayStation, though. That thing was essentially an Xbox exclusive outside of PC. Where are you guys on that, and what kind of gameplay do you want from it? What's your expectations for how they'll reapproach it?
Can I quickly tell you a story that popped recently at the weekend? Or maybe it was the weekend it was announced, because it is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Aspyr doing it. Yeah,
yes.
They're doing like the port.
Yeah, BioWare's not involved.
Well, I didn't really know who this company was, and I found myself that weekend with nothing
Outcast
to play, because
I
managed to...
Yes.
Right, okay. Because I'd finished Deathloop, so I was looking for something to play, and on the store, I saw Stubbs the Zombie, the remaster...
Yes.
For a crisp £10 note. So I bought that, and when I booted it up, the Aspyr logo came on, and I was like, wow, they're jumping from this to KOTOR, at least. So that made me,
that made me feel. From 2003 to 2021.
I need to jump in here quickly. A 1 minute thing, what are you thinking of Stubbs so far? Because this is blowing my mind.
I love that he doesn't tell us this until we're recording, and then he busts out the Stubbs.
I played Stubbs earlier this year, and both of you just sort of gave me a wet fart. Hadouken and just threw me away. So I want to know, Josh, what do you think of Stubbs so far? Like, have you played it before?
It's probably the worst money invested time gained investment I've ever done, because I played it for 15 minutes to try and, again, spark off those nostalgia receptors, because I remember getting that for a birthday when I was very young. Mm-hmm. And I try to play it now, and I was like, I'm not going to play all of this. There's no chance of playing this till the end.
That
but
game,
I enjoyed farting around and eating some brains. Especially
you do get to literally fart around as well.
Return of the Living Dead, you literally do. So it was good in that sense, but I don't often get those moments where I think, why have I spent money on this? But this was one where I sort of looked back and thought, that was a tenner. I might as well have thrown it in the bin.
You might as well. See.
I love this. I beat that game. It hasn't aged, but the thing I'm jumping in now and taking over this conversation quickly, Aspyr did the Outcast and Academy remasters and threw them over there, and it's pretty much clean ports, and they're really good. They're still really good games. I recommend them to anyone that's never played them. Some of the best Star Wars fiction there. Love Carl Catan. But the thing is, it's really, 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 curious about. This is a remake, right?
Yep.
They have called it remake. Anything that comes out now is meant to be canon. So essentially this means they're canonizing Knights of the Republic. This is the thing, unless they say otherwise, everything that has come out, apart from remasters and ports, this is a remake. So essentially, this is what I've kept thinking. They're remaking this not only to make it a more playable game and more of a functional product, but something that's going to be within the wider sphere of Star Wars. And at the moment, Disney and LucasArts are trying to do anything but talk about the sequel era trilogy. So they're going around. And if they throw this in there, not only will they get a bunch of goodwill, I think it's going to be majorly interesting, because I would like to see how that... I mean, you don't have to really fit, but you could just have Yoda walking past in the background and be fine, probably. But just the fact that they're going to retool things to make it more in line with what we have, I'm game.
Well, I mean, the Old Republic stuff is what they're aiming for in the movies, too. I know we've not seen very much of it, but they did release that. High Republic. Is that, I don't know, my old
High
school
Republic,
thousands of years ago stuff.
High Republic is it's around 600 to 800 years before the Phantom Menace. So Yoda can be alive, whereas... Knights of the Old Republic is 2,000 years before. So I said Yoda could walk past and he can't, because it's so far removed from all that. That's why they did it, basically, because at the time, I think BioWare had the choice to do something within the lovely era of the Attack of the Clones or to go well outside the other way. And they chose to get the hell out of the Clones era and do something then.
But I guess either way, it feels they're going backwards. They want to get as far away from the...
Could be another Final Fantasy VII situation in a way.
Maybe. Well, so
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Be really interesting.
I think like that's the thing in terms of gameplay, because I went through a big old chunk of KOTOR like earlier this year, and I love the whole opening for that game. I think when I was younger, I just didn't appreciate it that much. But when you go back to it now, like exploring that whole Citadel, talking to everybody, all the different conversations, all the different alien languages, and just being immersed in that place, it's kind of like the thing that you mentioned, Benroy, about if Quantic Dream did a game where you just play as anybody and you're just running around in this established fiction. Like, I really like that stuff at the start of KOTOR. But the thing that I wonder is what gameplay style they'll give it, because it has that old school BioWare feel. Which, you know, Dragon Age Inquisition had, in terms of like sort of a distance camera and you're picking what to do and you're waiting for animations to play out, but you're still moving your characters around in real time. It's like semi-turn-based, and I kind of wonder what they do to modernize it, whether it is like a Final Fantasy VII thing, you know, and they make it more one-to-one. But I don't know, like, I guess what do you guys want from the way that a new KOTOR could play? Do you want like a one-on-one action game, or should it keep the strategic elements?
I think, at least for me, I feel like Final Fantasy VII, you know, that has a great combat system. And I know a lot of people love the turn-based stuff, but for me, that was a nice splitting of the distance, because you still had a lot of things tactically to consider during play. You know, you had your ATB gauge, you had your special moves, you had your limit breakers and all that stuff. So I would like them to go down a route like that. I could see them maybe doing an almost modern-day Assassin's Creed-style combat system, where you have control over, you know, your basic inputs, your basic slashes, your heavy attacks and stuff, but then for your special moves you can fire them off with, you know, assigning them to certain buttons, so you have like these grander moves that were already in the original, you know, these specials that you could fire off. So I wonder whether they do it that way, to just kind of keep those iconic moves in there, but make the actual basic combat more responsive and more one-to-one. That would be maybe my shout for what they might end up doing.
Also, when I said remake, I want to clarify that I meant more jiggering around the story, as well as...
I was going to say story is a big thing too.
Jiggering around the... I reckon they will go... it's going to be more of an action focus, because I think that's especially sort of like... In the most reductive term, I can be of the more casuals that would... Or an audience that will come into a Star Wars game because it's a Star Wars game rather than something else. And I think at this point, they're going to expect something more like a Final Fantasy, where you can maybe split the difference and do either or. But I'm curious to see, because that game is famous for a big twist, right? Are they going to change the twist? Are they going to tweak anything?
Oh, they can't change the twist.
Is it going to maybe look more in line with the MMO? They're going to bring things from that as well. There's just so many things that they could bring into this to make it really interesting. I think anyone's going to be happy just for this game to be as is, but look pretty. But if what I've been spouting to this microphone comes true, this might be one of the most exciting Star Wars things to come around since, I don't know, for a long time.
Well, I mean, this is largely agreed to be the best Star Wars game of all time. Like, I mean, I would say that it is. I can't think of anything else that would occupy that space.
It's not my favorite, but yeah, I would say it's up there in terms of like the scope and scale and what it does.
Yeah, and I think so. You could take that original version. The only, when I went back to it, I mean, I for me, I always like whatever whatever version of a game it was at the time. Like, I think you can go, all these things might have changed over time, but I hardly ever would call something fundamentally outdated. Maybe a control scheme, like back when games used to fire with X or something. But for KOTOR, like, when you go back to it, it had like a retro kind of charm because of the way that BioWare RPGs used to be, like Jade Empire and KOTOR and stuff like that. So, like, you could stick to that framework and it would give it more of an identity, like, in the modern day. But I kind of wonder how much they do give in to just, especially if it's a PS5 timed exclusive, how much Sony have had words with the devs, Square Enix give me Spider-Man style to sort of go like, okay, this is going to be on PlayStation. We're going to have it as, you know, it was unveiled at the PlayStation showcase. So I wonder if they want it to be more like a third person thing or something like that. But overall, excuse me, the idea of reapproaching KOTOR in the modern age is pretty awesome. Next one down is Ubisoft's game, which we don't know very much about other than that it is an open world Star Wars title. It's made by the Division devs, Ubisoft Massive, and it's apparently said to be a huge departure from what the Division is. There's a quote from Julien Gerrité, I forget who he was talking to, but I did pull the quote, just saying that they truly look forward to creating something totally different from what we've done in the past while upping the bar for the industry. So I guess maybe no loot system, maybe no, what do you do if you're the Division devs? I mean, Julien Gerrité he's a Splinter Cell alumni as well. Not that I expect any stealth in Star Wars, but in terms of production value and tone and atmosphere, you know, dude knows how to build a pretty intense game. So I guess, yeah, I wonder what the hell that's going to turn into.
I am worried about this one just because of what the Disney exec said when it was first announced. Because, yeah, while they're saying there it's going to be a massive departure, I'm pretty sure like the execs were still talking up about getting players to, you know, treat it like it's a game that they've got to come back to with like an evolving world and all that stuff, which to me read as it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be the usual. It's going to be just the same kind of monetized systems that encourage you to play on the daily, to do challenges, et cetera, et cetera. I hope it's going to be more than that. But yeah, for the most part, outside of like the more grindy stuff, the more time wastery stuff in the Division games, like I think they are like really solid playing games. And I feel like the level design in particular, you know, the cities in those two games, I've not played any of the expansions, so I don't know where the environments go after that, but like the two cities that they've chosen, like look gorgeous. The attention to detail is incredible. Like living in those worlds was the best part of playing those games for me, even above the combat and stuff, and certainly above the loot grind. So if they manage to take that element, which Ubisoft has always been good at, whether it's been like Assassin's Creed, whether it's been Splinter Cell, whatever, and manage to put that into a Star Wars universe, whether it's, you know, a bounty hunter game, whether it's a Jedi game, like that's the thing I feel like would be a really good draw. Because like you said, you know, the production budgets, the level of production quality on their games has always been incredibly stellar. So I'm excited to see what they do, but just I can't shrug those comments which swirl around in my head.
Do you think go on.
I was gonna say, like, think of what Ubisoft have done with Assassin's Creed, where they treat each time period as just the new base for a game. Like, you take that in there and like you can take a planet or several planets, like, I don't know, let's be a squad of, like, say maybe we're just salvaging stuff throughout that's been left over from the Clone Wars, from like, let's go around Dantooine, let's go to Alderaan, let's go Geonosis, let's go anywhere, let's wander around bits of Kamino, let's go to some of these planets and just be a group of soldiers doing some stuff, or scavengers doing some stuff. And as Josh said, the shooting in those games and how those games play, the Division 1 and 2 are up there with some of the best, I think. Yeah. I don't want to put words into Josh's mouth like that, but those games felt really good. It's more just the oh, another purple gun, is it? Oh, okay.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Does it just become another? Do they? I mean, they've said that they want to do something that
Definitely got purple and gold guns, for God's sake. It's probably gonna have that in there, but I reckon the monetization won't be as harsh because of the legendary Battlefront 2 that ruined it for everyone and made them all throw their toys out the toy box. I'm gonna say, but yeah,
they just didn't want the toys anymore. That's the thing. I guess I wonder, like, in regards to that whole thing with Battlefront 2, like you said, it's set a hell of a bar in terms of what not to do. I wonder what the hell those conversations are in terms of how far can we push this again? Like, it's the Star Wars IP. We are Ubisoft. We are EA. We are whoever. What can we get away with again? And like, which one of these games is going to be the one that pushes it towards that that line again? But yeah, I wonder, like, because you're getting the Division team, obviously they've like nigh on perfected third person shooting and cover systems. Whether it is just a shooter, like set in the Star Wars universe, and like you don't even bother with melee stuff. You don't bother with vibra blades or lightsabers, and you just do a straight up Star Wars 13-13 style cover shooter, which we almost got back in the day anyway. And maybe that's the box that you take for that game. Next thing down, which is pretty big, is the Jedi Fallen Order sequel. Doesn't have a name, but we know that it's coming from Respawn. Yeah, what do you guys want from the sequel to that game? It feels like a pretty self-contained story. I know they bring Vader in at the end and it all goes full box-ticky Star Wars, but like in a really good way. But yeah, what do you expect from the future of the Fallen Order series?
The more I think about Fallen Order, the more fit as mince it actually was. You know, I feel like it was just such a breath of fresh air at the time.
Beautiful,
such a well-needed shot in the arm for EA's, especially overview of the Star Wars license. You know, I really enjoyed it. I do think there is room for improvement. I feel like you could maybe change the level design a bit. It was already like a little bit vertical, but I'd like to see more of those powers like wall running, you know, your big jumps kind of come into play, because while it was quite responsive, there were some areas where I felt like it was a little bit stilted to go from those wall runs into a slide into whatever. So I would like to see that expanded on even more and be more fluid. I would like, you know, obviously more lightsaber customization, which was an amazing part of that game. And ultimately, I just kind of want to see where this story goes, because I didn't expect to enjoy the characters in that game anywhere near as much as I did. I thought, you know, they were going to be maybe forgettable, or maybe like the time period it's set in was going to be too limiting. But that really surprised me. So when we got to the end of the game, and like you said, Scott, when they started introducing, you know, Darth Vader in a proper physical sense, and it's like raises a few questions there. I'm just interested to see how the story of Cal goes, and again, because all of these games are canon, how it ties into the wider universe in an interesting way.
Fallen Order for me just felt like a tick box game, and it was almost sort of just there, if I'm going to be completely harsh on it. And I just think about, it's just, it's lame if I hit anything with a lightsaber and it doesn't instantly die, right? And right. For as much as you can do the soul stuff, but if I'm hitting anything of a lightsaber, I can't have this. Like, I can get away with it when it's a sword, but I just can't with this. And I just thought it's dumb. I just thought it was dumb that like scout troopers can defend at any level of a Jedi, right? And I don't know. I like where the story went and how dark it got. And I'm still sort of on there going, well, if they cast, I can't remember his name. Josh probably knows the lead actor's name.
Oh God,
Cameron Monaghan, I think.
Yes. If they cast him, who's a known actor of the television realm, and I think some films, I put my flag in the ground and was like, this is gonna be a series of something at some point on Disney Plus. But I mean, at the same time, it was fun. It was probably better than the Force Awakens games. Force Awakens, is that right? No, Force Unleashed games. Game.
All right.
but at the same time, which is like, I could give or take another one at this point.
I think it was very safe. Like, I did like the way that, because I think Respawn have a lot of confidence as a dev, like as a dev team. And I the thing with me was that towards the end, when you're finally storming the final complex before you go up against Darth Vader, is when you have the most powers and you have the most enemies coming at you, and you start comboing stuff together where it's like, you know, pull this guy across, like stab this dude, throw this guy over there, and you're channeling, you're like chaining these moves together in a way that you couldn't before, because there just wasn't enough enemies on screen. And that was the thing where I was like, okay, this feels great. And I get that that's the payoff to him learning a whole bunch of powers and rediscovering himself and everything, but that was the bit where I was like, I want a whole game of this. Like, this is the level of engagement that I wish was across the rest of the game, because there's a lot of platforming sections, there's a lot of exploration, there's a lot of Metroidvania adjacent stuff, and that means you're not in combat that much, and the combat that you are in, it's soul style, so it's like two or three dudes and then reset at the bonfire, go again. And that's fine. But like for me, though, it hit like a peak, which was a payoff to the end of that story. But I hope that that's where they start from in the new one. And I hope that they just go, like, just let me have a whole bunch of powers. Don't reset him. Don't have some weird way that Cal has to forget the stuff that he learned or whatever. I hope they start that game with him with a hood on, Return of the Jedi style. And he's just, he's nigh on a master of at least all those base abilities. And then go from there.
Also,
I was going to say, don't do the God of War gimmick. Don't do the thing between the first three games where they were like, you are the most powerful person in the world. Let's find a way to bring you back down to earth a little bit. Yeah, let's stab you through the chest. Sorry, Bedrock.
I was going to say also, like, I have some hatred against this game, because you could have just used, like, you could have made that Cal Katarn. I hate you all for that. Also, I get more and more tired of them introducing more and more characters that survive 66 and more Jedi that are around. And it's sort of like, for me, brings down like this, how special Luke is to be around at that time period. And why weren't they, why, I mean, it's a large galaxy, right? But at the same time, it was all involved in the Empire. And we've seen with the Mandalorian that Force users can connect in certain ways. Like, why was there no allusion to this? I know that those films were made back in the 60s, 70s and 80s, and now we're talking about games coming out in the 2020s, but at the same time, I just, the more stuff you cram into that period, like at one point you can probably go now and find out every single day of Darth Vader's existence and what he's done at this point, right? And then all these other characters, like, what were you doing, and how, like, how is this character gonna die at some point or whatever? And for me, that's why it sort of falls flat. That's why I'm more excited for the further off stuff, or stuff that goes beyond what we've had, because the more you plug into this, especially with Force stuff and Jedi, and it's got to be canon.
Well, yeah, I think that was obviously the thing that they try to do so much in the movies as well. It was, oh, hey, by the way, this story was happening too, like all the stuff with Solo. And it's like that, I guess it works, it's bankable or it's marketable, but like it depends how important that story is ultimately, or how well it's like presented. But Jedi Fallen Order seemed to go down very well. It was the game that there was some conference call thing or some internal memo conversation that EA had realized that single player games can actually work again. So at least I'm thankful that it managed to convince them of that. In terms of other stuff that is in development, there's Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, there's Lego Star Wars Battles, which is a card-based tower defense game, which is now coming to Apple Arcade, which usually means it'll come to other platforms later, maybe Switch or something. And there's Star Wars Hunters, which was the game that was shown off as, oh my god, the next Star Wars game, but then it's actually like a mobile hero shooter arena battler mobile thing. So just three other titles that are in development for Star Wars as well. But it's a hell of a slate, like, you know, Quantic Dreams game, the KOTOR remake, Ubisoft's game, Jedi Fallen Order sequel, and the Lego titles, and the potential Mandalorian game, which we saw a little bit of footage of, which didn't seem very real.
I think that's modded Battlefront 2 stuff.
Well, so that's the thing. So it didn't look very real. And then, immediately I was like, that looks like the Battlefront running animation. But the conversation around that continues to be, could be a thing, that like maybe they're doing a Mandalorian game.
Corey Barlog.
Yes, get Corey Barlog onto it. We should quickly end on the Mandalorian game. Do you think that's the most like viable thing to do? That is, you know, new. It's a new property, but it's old school. Like, what do you think?
Easily, the fact that that hasn't already been announced boggles my mind off. Because, yeah, I feel like that's a perfect fit for a video game. It's an established brand. People who don't even really like Star Wars anymore seem to love the Mandalorian, but. Yeah, so I feel like it has this like cross appeal. You know, it's obviously doing very well for Disney. And yeah, if you get someone like, you know, Sony Santa Monica involved with Corey Barlog or any other team really to do it justice, like I feel like the systems, the characters and the mechanics are all there to be perfectly translated over.
Like it literally is a video game anyway. Like,
yeah, like I couldn't believe, because I got to it way later than you guys. Like I couldn't believe how much season one like already took from video games.
Yep.
So it's almost like it would repair the favor anyway.
Like fetch quests, armor unlocks, like literally.
Whether this happens, whether it's announced this year, whether it's announced next year, whether it's announced in like 3 years' time, it's got to happen. If it doesn't, I'll eat this hat.
You'll every single bit of that hat, Mr. Benroy. What do you think of Mandalorian tie-ins?
Well, Star Wars Bounty Hunter is one of the best Star Wars games of all time.
And yep.
So why not just do that again, but control like a modern video game? And then let's go sort of thing. Yeah, what you both have just said, the Mandalorian is a video game. The series, armor unlocks and all that sort of stuff. So just do that. Give it to me. Give me what I want. I ain't got nothing more to say.
Give me the Beskar and give me the spears and everything else going forward. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below of, I guess, where Star Wars is at for you and what sort of titles you're looking forward to and what the living hell Quantic Dreams Star Wars game is going to be. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
May the Force be with you.
And Josh Brown.
Goodbye there.
I was going to go with always, which I will. Always. Yeah. And goodbye. Yeah. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.